Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, esteemed listeners. We are with you again in this session with Mufti Muhammad Aku Hafidhahullah. The date today, remember, is the 15th of Shaban, 1446. I think this is one day everyone knows the date, alhamdulillah. So let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Sahab, alhamdulillah, Allah's favor.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, you're saying?
Gee, alhamdulillah. How is Mufti Sahab doing?
Allah's karam, Allah's mercy. Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahab, advice for today for us. Coming out the night, the Mubarak night.
I just started speaking and I see, I don't know where I'm sitting, not far from here, they're cutting the grass, but I hope it doesn't disturb, inshallah.
No, Allah, we can't hear anything.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, welcome to one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Sha'ban is really a Mubarak month. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam increased in ibadah in this month of Sha'ban. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exerted himself. He fasted profusely in this month. And when he was asked, Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, he said, this month of Sha'ban is neglected by people. That's the shahr of yaghfalun nas wa'an between Rajab and Ramadan. And Nabi said, our deeds are raised to the heavens, especially in the month of Ramadan. So this is especially in the month of Sha'ban. And also being on the 15th of Sha'ban, this is explicitly mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated in Sunan of Al-Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah, that our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the 15th of Sha'ban comes, then make Qiyam at night and fast the day. So the night was the previous evening, alhamdulillah, and the day is today. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقُومُوا لَيْلَهَا وَصُومُوا نَهَارَهَا. Stand that night in Qiyam and fast that day. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people in abundance. This Allah sallam drew an equation of that tribe, the Banu Kalb, who had the most amount of flock and livestock. Imagine in one cow or one sheep or one goat, there's so many fibers of hay and wool, and so many they had. So equivalent to that, what is meant by that is an unlimited amount of people will Allah forgive. So this is really a blessed time we are in. And the hadith also mentioned, Allah forgives everyone except the mushrik, one who ascribes partners unto Allah, and mushahin, the one who harbors hatred towards others. Allah save us from that. So the word shahna, animosity, hatred, that's a trait that we should never ever have. We should always ask Allah to give us a clean heart. And if we have anything towards anyone, we have to clean our heart towards those people. Our deen teaches us, if you have hatred for one, then make salam, give a person a gift, and make dua for each other. Alhamdulillah, make dua for that person. That we shouldn't have hatred. What's the reason for the hatred? So hatred is one of the evil traits that one would be deprived of forgiveness. Another hadith reports that those who carry pains, Allah save us. We mentioned that in the previous week, where we mentioned that Aisha radiallahu anha incident of slander, Allah save us. So slander is even worse than just carrying tales, because it's lying against someone. Someone is innocent of something and we're falsely accusing them. So carrying tales. And also disobedience of parents, defying one's parents, disobeying one's parents. And also breaking ties, mentioned specifically in the hadith, musarim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from breaking ties. That's also mentioned in the hadith. Those people will not be forgiven. Mudminul khamr, one addicted to alcohol. And Allah save us and our progeny from drugs and all those sorts of things. Allah give us all the ability to keep good company. And if we are with people, Allah enable us to influence them positively and take good effect from people from good company. And Allah save us from taking effect from people negatively. Subhanallah, in Sha'ban, there were so many historical events. Each one just becomes so interesting. One of the Qibla that we discussed. Then we were mentioning in the morning program, which I don't feel I should repeat here because it is under discussion in the morning, where we were discussing the different Sahaba Kiram who comes from the Jewish background, how they came into Islam and so forth. And then and that was also when Muslims arrived in Medina Munawwara, Qibla in the second year was actually changed in Sha'ban. Another very interesting event that happened was in this year, a very famous man comes to Medina Munawwara. And the incident behind him coming was quite interesting. He comes from a land near Shia, that's Persia. He was a king of his community. His father was known for his generosity. His father was Hatim Tai. Hatim Tai was very famous for his generosity. He was a very generous man. Anyway, the king of his people, of his community, after Hatim Tai, was this man, Adi ibn Hatim. Adi ibn Hatim said to his soldiers and his guards, that when you see the men of Muhammad coming in our region, notify me. Because in his mind, he wanted nothing to do with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nor the Muslims. And a few months later, it so happened that the Sahaba were traveling in that region. And they came to Adi bin Hatim. And they mentioned the stream. He got so upset. And he then gathered his family, because he had actually kept them ready from beforehand, and took his goods and belongings, lock, stock, and barrels, and left from there. He wanted nothing to do with Islam and the Muslims. And as he left, he forgot his sister. His sister was a famous woman in history also, Safana bint Hatim, the daughter of Hatim. Anyway, that was a very sad move, and it brought grief to his sister. How could my own brother forget me? So he was hurt about that. She was hurt about that. And she was among the people of that area who were escorted and brought to Medina Munawwara. And they were kept there in Medina Munawwara, because Muslims conquered that region. But so amazing was the treatment she received in Medina Munawwara from our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and from the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, from the Sahabiyat, radiallahu anhum. Now Hatim Ta'i, Adi bin Hatim al-Ta'i, who heard a lot of negativities about Islam. What he heard about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was negative. So he had, bad expectations. But when he was getting news via different travelers, how well was the treatment his sister was receiving in Medina Munawwara, he couldn't believe it. Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her name, her whereabouts, where she's from, and so forth. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam acknowledged to the generosity of her father. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also asked her, but why is your brother running away? That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because her brother was running away. Where is the one, Al-Far, running away from Allah and his Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her that. And the day she spent there, she was given honor, she was respected, and she was given the opportunity to see the beauty of being firsthand. Then, when she was released, Nabi Sallallahu said, you may go, but don't travel on your own. When there are people in Medina that you recognize and who are going to where you want to go to your safe haven, where your brother is, tell me, I'll send you with them and I'll give you a conveyance. And that's exactly what happened. When she had people she recognized or trusted, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Ummahat al-Mu'mineen sent her away. She was a Muslim now. Now she comes to her brother and she says to him, oh, oppressive one who breaks ties with his own sister. Have you forgotten? We have the same parents. So I always encourage each other. Encourage each other, respected Ummah. Maintain ties with our siblings. Maintain ties with our nephews and nieces. Maintain ties with our parents and children. For Allah's sake, one of the people that are not forgiven, meaning are deprived of forgiveness, is due to breaking family ties. It's a sad disease today that no one wants to tolerate the other. Tolerate each other for Allah. The reward of maintaining ties is great. Forgive each other. Rather not speak, but maintain ties. Don't instill in our children hatred for their own uncle, for their own auntie, for their own family members. Because now, Nauzubillah, you and your brother had some misunderstanding. Now you want your children to hate their uncle. Oh, why are we growing our children with such negativity in their heart, but maintain goodness. Firstly, you greeted your uncle, you greet your brother, and maintain ties. Anyway, Hazrat Safana now motivated Ali. How could you be deprived of meeting such a man who is Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And then she said to him, even if you don't want to accept him as Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though he is, but he has such sublime character, he'll still treat you well. Don't be deprived of his goodness. And that motivated Ali to journey to Medina Munawwara. Even Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for Ali. That he used to say, إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ أَيَّجْعَلَ اللَّهُ يَدَهُ فِي يَدِي. I hope Allah brings his hand in my hand. Meaning, I hope he comes to Islam. What happened then was, Ali traveled. He comes to Medina Munawwara. He says, the people acknowledge me. Ali ibn Hatim, Ali ibn Hatim. And he comes to the Masjid Nabawi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was sitting with the Sahaba. And he gets up to welcome Ali. Then he takes Ali home. On the way, Ali says, لَقِيَتْهُ مْرَأَةٌ وَصَبِيٌّ. A woman approaches him and a child. And he saw to their needs. He arranged what they needed. And then he took my hand and took him to his house. Then he then spoke to me. Praised Allah. He glorified Allah. He says, what stops you from saying La ilaha illallah? Can there be another deity but Allah? And I said, no, there can't be. There's only one God, Allah. And he spoke further on that. And he said to me, what stops you from saying Allahu Akbar? Allah is the greatest. Because you'll hear Allahu Akbar. Do you know anyone greater than Allah? I said, no, it is true. And in that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also brought certain discussion. He said, why is it that you are changing the truth? He said, how? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that your rabbis consider what Allah has made prohibited to become halal. They've changed it to become legal. Certain things have been legalized in your religion that was not originally legal. And certain things were illegal and your priests have made it legal. So we are not at liberty to change the command of Allah. And then through that you are making your priests and preachers into gods besides Allah. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned to him, as leaders, why do they overcharge taxes to people? That leaders are taking nirba'ul qawm, one quarter, 25% of everything people are earning is taken by the leaders. How can that be justified? In that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, remember, the Yahud are maghdub alayhim, and the Nasara are dullal, meaning those who know the truth but conceal the truth, they incur Allah's wrath. And those who are ignorant of the truth but they don't know it, they are called dullal, they are astray. Now interestingly, this hadith is even giving the meaning of Al-Fatiha, where we're asking Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, oh Allah, guide us along the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the path of those whom you have favored. Allah, give us and enable us to tread on the path of your favored ones. من النبيين, that's answered in Surah Nisa, in the Quran. We ask Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. That أنعمت عليهم is explained in the Quran. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Allah, make us of those who you have favored, the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, Shuhada. Give us their company, the Siddiqeen, the pious, the righteous. Though that is the best company. وَحَشُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That ayah was also revealed on the occasion where one Sahabi Thawban, he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was quite depressed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what worries you? What concerns you? He said, oh Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we sit with you, we enjoy your company. We are in bliss, learning in your company. And we go home, and I'm with my family, and I think of you, and I come again to sit by you, and you are available to us. Oh Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I worry. When we go to Jannah, how will we see you? You will be in the ultimate levels, highest of levels in paradise. How will we be able to reach you? This was the worry of the Sahabi. Imagine. Allah revealed this verse. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ. Those that obey Allah and His Rasul. فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. It will be with them. نبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. Allah will make them with them. صحابة سعيد حضرت أنس أن أنس that this ayah, hadith, and obviously this ayah as well, the hadith that Allah's Nabi said, you will be with those who you love. Sahaba said, this hadith gave us the greatest of joy. Because we love Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this month of Sha'ban also is an opportunity for us to increase in the sunnah mubarakah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The love for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To emulate our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To follow his beautiful sunnah. To emulate his sunnah. Because ulama refer to Rajab as the month of Allah and Sha'ban as the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ramadan is the month of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Alusi Baghdadi's son in his Ghaliyat al-Mawa'id quotes an amazing poem. Allama Alusi is one of the greatest Mufassirin that ever lived. And his son quotes this poem, Man dha yusha'ibu fi Sha'ban himmatahu ويستقيم على الطاعات إذعانا فإنه شهر من ترجى شفاعته يوم القيامة في من كان خوانا سمي لما فيه من خير ومن نعم تشعبات بعد صدع كان شعبانا. He who wants his branches and fruit and flowers to reach far, and he increases his aspiration for deen and remains firm in Allah's obedience, yielding and submitting to the commands of Allah. Sha'ban is the month to start. Because it is the month of he whose intercession is hoped for and aspired for. Man turja shafa'atuhu, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose intercession we hope for on judgment day concerning us who are sinners. This month is called thus because of the khair and the bounties that are far reaching in this month when the tree starts growing, and that is Sha'ban. So what this means is to sow the seeds and plant the trees of goodness in this month so that it is cultivated and watered profusely in the month of Ramadan, so this tree becomes strong and firmly embedded in us. This also means when we plant seed and sow the seeds and maintain the branches and the fruit and make it, subhanAllah, export quality. So that also bring about qualities that will serve humanity. Charitable works, spreading deen, serving people, uplifting people. And very, very important, making deen available to people. The month of Sha'ban is really for us to change, for us to connect to Allah, for us to follow the right channel. As the pious Guru Granadine say, you're traveling on the highway on the right hand side of the road, and then just now the off ramp is coming. The wisest thing to do is to make our way towards that lane so that we can take the off ramp, which is Ramadan, very, very easily. The really unwise thing to do is to continue the way we are continuing, and then in the last moment we want to just cut through the lanes. That could be a catastrophe. So we have a few days before Ramadan comes in. And I would exhort one and all, in our homes, make the ta'aleem of fada'ilul a'mal, and more specifically, fada'il Ramadan, inside this beautiful fada'il a'mal. Read the kitab from the beginning with our sons and daughters and family members, parents, wives, children, family members. Sit with them and establish the halaqa of ta'aleem so that Ramadan comes in and we are ready. Our mindset and our temperament is channeled correctly. So let's not delay. This is the chance to actually get ourselves geared up. Let's not wait for the month and then we just shock. The month just came. Already start increasing in tilawa. And I mentioned to you Hazrat Adi's incident, ya Allah, where finally, subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa explained to him, but are you worried that Muslims are few? You'll see Allah will increase the Muslims so much that through Islam in all the regions, there'll be so much of peace to prevail that even if a woman had to, out of necessity, travel from Shira, right from Medina Munawwara, no one would harm her. However, when they explain this hadith, they say that every area she passes, the wives of the husband, the wives will take care of her, and she'll be treated like a sister and a daughter. She'll be cared for, her needs will be seen to, and no one will violate her or usurp her rights or dishonor her, but respectfully would she be escorted to her safety in every area she passes. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining the level of deen that will come alive through, of safety and peace that will come alive through the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the deen of our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While you were saying, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying this, I was wondering, does he know in my area there are such highway robbers, hijackers and so forth? And while we are in this same discussion, look at what a disease that's happening in our beautiful country. Look at people that are just picking up children and kidnapping them. Some of them are torturing people just for their families to put together monies to ransom them. What injustice. Allah help us as an ummah. Allah help us as an ummah. And how can it be? But what will resolve this is deen. Bring alive deen. Make deen available to the Muslims through the beautiful work of Jamaat and Tazkiyah and Madaris and Makatib, and make deen available to the non-Muslim. Sadly, see how the non-Muslim is just walking anywhere. He'll just stand and urinate. Now, we have so many staff. Have a little discussion with them. Just yesterday, I was speaking to some brothers. Ask the man who speaks Zulu or Xhosa or Sotho. Tell him, brother, what do you call your right hand? He'll tell you in Zulu, the hand for eating. So tell me, what do you call the left hand? The hand for peeling the dirt. So he explained to him, see, this hand, that's why we wash and eat with the right hand. And when we go toilet, we have to wash the filth, the germs that come out from us. The dirt has to be washed with the left hand using water. See how beautiful it is. That's why we have to sit and we have to be hygienic. Explain to people this beautiful aspect of Tahara. Get the message out there. Make a difference. Leave a legacy. Try. Don't give up. Each one can try with somebody. Hazrat Adi bin Hatim embraced Islam. He changed his life. It was the month of Sha'ban also. Allahu Akbar. And Allah, what a great Sahabi of Rasulullah. Not long thereafter, his own people became murtad. He refused to denounce his Islam. He said, I'll never forsake my deen. Islam is the truth. Alhamdulillah. And he says, before the time of Salah comes in, I make my wudu and I'm ready and I'm awaiting my Salah. I'm desirous of Salah. Let's try and do this before Ramadan comes in. This beautiful amal of Hazrat Adi bin Hatim, who was a king. And then also another beautiful practice. He was a very wealthy man, but he never liked waste. Generosity is very good. His father was so generous. He was generous. It is said his sister Safana radiallahu anha was more generous than him radiallahu anha. But he was also generous, but he detested waste. This is another thing we need to teach our children. When you finish, my child, switch off the light. When you finish with this, switch it off. When you teach them not to waste. Don't throw the bread. Don't waste the crust. It's not right. Allah is watching us. Don't throw the food. Don't just order, incessantly and then it's wasted. Don't do that. Allah doesn't like waste. Hazrat Adi bin Hatim, even after he ate, he made sure there was no wastage. If anyone would like to eat, he would let them join him. Or anyone wants to have something that is left over, let them have. Otherwise, what people didn't want to eat, he would break it for the animals, for the ants, for the cats, and so forth. A beautiful amal we learned from this great Sahabi, Hazrat Adi bin Hatim. Ramadan is round the corner. Let us make a difference. And also, Khayril Maghdubi alayhim wa al-Dhalin, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to Hazrat Adi bin Hatim. You're going to be hearing it, and we read it every day. Then you're going to listen to Al-Baqarah. Al-Baqarah is the tafsir of Ghayril Maghdubi alayhim. That's why the Jewish community is discussed in detail in Al-Baqarah. And you can get the discussions of the morning discussions, which of the Jewish community became the great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-Dhalin is the Nasara. And we're also discussing those who come from Christian backgrounds and they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and became Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum. So our request to you, there's a few days left. You are going to be sending khajur out. Send a booklet with that khajur also to your non-Muslim neighbor. tell them the month of Ramadan is coming. We want you to gift you all something as well. One day, when you get a chance, come visit us, join us to the masjid. Send your son next door. Your son will go meet the next door uncle. Your daughter will go, if there's only a lady there, send your daughter next door to give that samosas or kajur. And like that, show them this beautiful ikram. Some of the brothers you live in these, mashallah, enclosed areas, the whole, it's like a small town in the big city. Even we hear from the Jamaat, they find it so hard to even get inside there. But a lot of non-Muslims live in those areas. They are my respected ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You also send to the Fundamentals and the Shaka Zulus living in those elite areas, very, very expensive houses, mashallah. Allah keep you safe, inshallah. Stay safe with deen. But send this plate of samosas and kajur to your next door neighbors also. Because they, in those isolated places, they don't even hear the adhan. And sadly, some Muslims, your own children also don't make a figure. So adhan is called there. Create an environment of deen also there. Okay, mashallah, as Muslims, you will go to the nearest masjid and sometimes it's very, very far. But also make deen available to those elite, high-tea people in those, incarcerated areas there. Don't forget to send plates of samosa or kajur to your neighbors with a booklet inviting them to Islam. Allah bless you. Jazakumullah khairan wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakumullah khairan. Mufti sahab, make dua for us as well.
Ameen. Antakadalik. Barakallahu feekum.
That was Mufti Muhammad Akusab, Hafidhullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him every Jumu'ah, mashallah, giving us good messages and also inspiring us. This is something that we don't hear often, inspiring us to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call others towards this great, beautiful deen of Islam. May Allah accept all the efforts of everyone. We're going for the news. And remember, at 10 o'clock, just past 10, we'll have the news. Thereafter, the news at 10, we'll have our Nikah announcement program. You can start sending in your announcements from now. From us in the team, we appreciate your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.